show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Excuse me, sir. Can you tell me where I can find season one of Technorama?
Over there, in the media corner.
On Blu-ray?
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for Wednesday, July 29, 2009. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. That's all you think you gave us.
Yeah.
I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm so happy.
I liked your schlep rock there at the beginning there. It made me think of Droopy Dog. Droopy.
I'm so happy. Mr. Dragon, I'm going to slay you.
Mr.
Oh, boo. I'll never save the princess.
I'm sorry.
We've got a lot of stuff to cover tonight, and probably not a lot of time for shenanigans like that, as much fun as it is.
That's all you're getting.
Let's start out with the fun we have trying to debug other people's computer problems. Ever happened to you?
Oh, speaking of keeping the show short.
Someone calls up and says, my computer's not working.
My internet's down.
The printer didn't work. The scanner's offline. Where are my pictures? Yeah, all that kind of good stuff. Where do you begin troubleshooting? I know where you begin. You start by looking at what's on their screen. That makes it a lot simpler, and you can make it simple by using something like Go to Assist. Not something like, use Go to Assist. Go to Assist allows you to do two-way screen sharing so you can see exactly what they're looking at. File transfers, live chat, and more over a secure connection. It's so easy to get started. All you need is your web browser. Just start by going to gotoassist.com/podcast for your free 30-day trial. That's right. Free. It's free for 30 days. But you have to go to gotoassist.com/podcast. Trust us. Your life will never be the same.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes.
One time, I know I've talked about this on the show, but one time I had a guy on the phone I was trying to help. And I told him to click on my computer. He said, how can I do that? You're on the side of the phone. But see, this time I could just point it to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
where's the rim shot when you need it?
There you go.
All right. Coming up in tonight's show, we've got, oh, dear Lord, the Star Wars dance off. That's kind of like Whoopi Goldberg. A peek at the neutron light cycle and 10 things you didn't know about the Apollo 11 mission, and maybe a couple more.
How to hack a pigeon.
Pigeons with cell phones beam air quality information to blog.
I think I heard about this a while ago. When they said cell phones, all I could think of was gives a whole new meaning to carrier pigeon. And the crowd goes silent.
Using pigeons to carry packet data. You know, they would print out the data that was in the packet and they would tape it to the pigeon's leg and then they send it. And then once they got there, they would take it and put it back on the internet. Wonder what the baud rate is on that.
2 pigeons per minute.
Yeah. 2 BPM.
What?
Technorama, home to a couple of bird brains named Chuck and Craig.
Do you drool over cutting-edge technology? Are you the first in line for the latest sci-fi movie? Do you stay up late at night playing video games? Do you consider being called a geek a badge of honor? Then Geek Cred is the show for you. Join me, Steve Rickyberg, as I bring you in-depth behind-the-scenes
Welcome back. Looking at the chat room, we want to give a shout out. These people are insane. If you happen to be around on Sunday nights, you might want to join these insane people.
They are insane.
Yeah. The patients are running the asylum again. Yeah. Tonight's theme appears to be fish.
No, not just any fish.
Not just any fish?
No, I think they were trying to do the Babel fish thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay. See, the translation didn't work. You must not have your fish in.
In the chat room, we've got A.D. Leviathan, Ben Von, Claudio M., Clownfish, Captain Large Trout, Deb Drup, Fuffy Frog, Geek Cred, Giant Flounder, Marvy Fish, who said he was going to do Humu Humu Nuku Nuku Apawa Island. I mean, wait, that was Bugs Bunny. That was the Witch Doctor song by the Chipmunks. Yeah. Thanks. Mike, right. King Redfish, Parrotfish, PGH Matt, who is forgot his costume at home, Sly Dogfish, Shark Food, Tim Guppy, and Z Harry Goldfish.
Z Harry Goldfish. Shave that thing. The fish.
That rounds out the chat room.
Nice.
Looking at the birthday calendar, we've got July 30th is Brian Hunt, a.k.a. Zafav Beeblebrox. July 31st is the wedding anniversary of Will, the computer guy. This is a birthday calendar. How do we end up with a wedding anniversary on here?
You know what? I think Will puts all of his events in our calendar just so he can keep up with it.
This is the 42nd anniversary of my first calculator. Well, we might actually accept that. You never know.
Yeah, that's true.
I know it also happens to be Richard Vogt's birthday on the 31st.
Oh, well, happy birthday to him.
August 1st is Clinton Elvert from Comedy Forecast, and August 2nd is Brian Ibbett. Neither of those two were on the calendar. I just pulled them off of Facebook.
Oh, really?
Surprise!
Nice. Nice.
If we didn't call out your name and it happens to be your birthday this week, happy birthday to you. We wish you all the best. And if you want to get your name on the calendar, go to chuckchat.com/wiki. Look under the birthday calendar and have a blast. If you're around on Sunday nights, as we mentioned, 10 p.m. Eastern is when we start recording. There's usually a little pre-show. And rumor has it that we're going to start looking at moving that time back to its old time. We went to 9 p.m. because I had a conference call with another part of the world. But that has since moved to Wednesday nights. And Sunday night... What do you think, Craig? Should we move it back to 8 o'clock? Can you?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, we're going to check on that, and we'll let you all know.
Yeah, I'm not confirming or denying anything.
Well, thank you, Senator.
I'm not confirming or denying anything. All right.
Good news, everyone!
In the newsroom, we've got... Thank you to Michelle. We've got a photo of an impact, kind of a... crater, black spot, what would you call this, on Jupiter this past week, found by an amateur astronomer.
I call it jealousy.
Why's that?
Because Jupiter's tired of all the moon coverage this last week.
Yeah, it happened to be on the same day, which is, it's like it broke out in acne or something.
Yeah, actually there was an impact on Jupiter, and you can see it's a nice big black blotch. But what was really cool, equally, this last week is they trained the Hubble to take a picture of it. Well, the Hubble's still in calibration for the new cameras and equipment that they put on there. Mm-hmm. They were able to take some good pictures of this little blotch, and it's kind of interesting to see. And, you know, they were also postulating that some of these unexpected asteroid hits are probably, might be one of the reasons why there's, you know, sparse life throughout the galaxy that we haven't been able to get in touch with.
You mean the solar system?
In the galaxy, in the area, because there's so many meteors or impacts on planets, I guess, everywhere. It could be because that's why life has maybe thinned out in the galaxy and we haven't had any contact with anything else.
Well, you need a system impacts. That has like a giant solar system vacuum cleaner like we have, like Jupiter, that sucks up all these things that could potentially hurt us.
I'm sorry. I started thinking of... Spaceballs, the big vacuum cleaner.
The Succolux 9000, whatever it was.
Yeah.
All right, leave that one alone.
Yeah, okay.
This just shows that amateurs can still do great things in astronomy. The way I heard it is Anthony Wesley, who's the Australian amateur astronomer that did this, was looking through his telescope and thought maybe it was a spot, and he checked out his equipment and it looked okay, you know, thinking that was a dirt speck or something on his equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took a picture in the different color ranges with different filters, and it actually turned out to be a spot. And then he called an observatory and confirmed it. Went, wow, mm-hmm. he discovered it. That's pretty cool. It reminds me of the 1994 impacts of Shoemaker-Levy 9, but those were down in the southern latitudes. This one's very far north.
Yes, it is.
If it were us, it'd be, you know, upwards of Greenland.
Well, see, actually, I didn't know. Following this story, remember I mentioned about the Hubble. I was just wondering. I hadn't heard anything new about the Hubble since they did the repairs, and they said they actually turned it on and were able to take some pictures of this particular event, even though that the Hubble is not quite ready for business again. But they're recalibrating the cameras, however long that takes, I don't know. But
I hope it's done soon.
There's some better pictures too. Yeah, there's some better pictures out there of it, but it's pretty cool.
Next story comes to us from Gizmodo. John Hargrave tracked down Verizon CEO's private address and cell phone number. Then he went to his home, megaphone in hand, to ask him to stop Verizon's lousy privacy policies. There's a video on the Gizmodo site. We'll have a link in the show notes there. But apparently, it's easier than you think.
I think it proves a good point. You know, they need to be more up on keeping their personal information for the customers in check. He's right. If the guy did get it, he was able to pick up the information easily. I think they should be more. You know, you put a lot of trust in these people. You know, to keep up with that kind of stuff.
What do you think was in more trouble, the CEO or the guy with the megaphone?
Just, I don't know. I would say the CEO,
question,
but
I don't expect an answer.
I don't know. I don't know which one.
Now, this past week, you're probably all well aware that there was a very long total solar eclipse over Eastern Asia, Taiwan, Pacific, that I'm very envious of, because this is the longest eclipse period of totality, because the moon was at perigee, which means it's the closest to us, and the sun is at apogee, which means it's the furthest away from us. You know how you remember those two terms?
How are you supposed to remember them?
Apogee starts with an A, and so it's away.
Oh, I see. Okay.
There you go. You learned something.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to do that on Technorama. Yeah. Fun.
Wipe it from my mind.
That's the info part. If we ever win an award, we'll be in the infotainment part. So that's the info. Nominate us.
Now the taintment.
More like a taintment.
Yeah. Anyway,
EarthObservatory.nasa.gov has some awesome pictures.
There were some really cool pictures of this thing, especially from China. You know, I read one article and it said, yeah, there wasn't one over the United States in a long time. And I was like, I don't remember. I remember one, and I thought it was around the early 90s, and it was like 91
yep.
or so. Yeah, and because
yep.
I remember being outside with a friend of mine and seeing the shadows, had little crescent shadows coming off the trees. It was really neat.
If I remember right, it was better for the southern states than it was up here. We did not get totality, but we had telescopes and things set up at work. These pictures on the NASA site, it almost looks like someone took a normal picture and just kind of photoshopped with the spray tool and went.
What they did was they used some of that little spray like you spray on your hair when you got hair loss.
Spray on hair. Yeah. This takes care of all the bald Japanese people.
Or is China blocking us again?
We know that's a big problem.
Yes.
All right. Chinese. I got to slow down and get the thing right. Hacks and strange stories. Hacks and strange stories. Yes, Lenny, I believe I just said that.
Yeah, what you said.
From the Telegraph in the UK, telegraph.co.uk, Dirk Auer, I believe I'm saying that right. If not, call in, let us know. He rides the Mammoth wooden roller coaster using inline skates. Now, the first thing I could think of was, how in the heck? But he's created rigs. They almost look like downhill ski boots.
And then he's got the rollerblades underneath, and then the supporting wheels on the sides and undersides of the track. And I said, well, you know, you still got to keep your upper body stable. If your yes. feet start going down the hill without you, you're just going to be dragging your head down the track going, doo, 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 doo.
Yeah.
But yes. he's got sort of these forward-leaning
poles like ski
that
poles.
He can stabilize his upper body. Yeah, he looks like a downhill ski racer when he's in full prone position, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
That the other thing that strikes me about this is, as fun as this sounds, and honestly, to me, it does sound kind of fun, there are points in the track where they slow the car down. Being on roller coasters in the last couple of weeks, I'm very observant to the engineering aspects of this. And there are the brakes are actually in the middle of the track where they grab this steel plate and break the car. He's got no brakes.
Oh, that's right. Well, he also doesn't have that much weight and momentum that a train would have.
True, and I'm not going to get into the physics of mass and inertia and his weight versus a train's weight, but okay. So does that mean he might get halfway up a hill somewhere and start going backwards?
You know, I think it would. I don't know the whole lay of this roller coaster, but he might have a little trouble going back up the hills.
That first drop would be a dilly. He's got to have some kind of braking mechanism on his hand to like control his speed.
So let me ask you,
if he was partway up a hill, and you wouldn't want to go back.
Yeah. So you would ride a roller coaster with inline skates?
I'd do this. I would do this. That first drop would just be intense.
Oh my
gosh!
And
the rest would just be hilariously fun.
Yeah, and you know what? When I read that, I went, "Oh my god, I got to see this!" Because I didn't think about he's got those mechanical boots.
There's a series of 14 different pictures on the website. Again, we'll have a link in the show notes. Mm-hmm. Looks like a great old time. What doesn't look like a great old time is the Wienermobile.
Yeah. And you know what?
You want to carry this one since you've done the Wienermobile thing our first year?
Yes,
it's all you, man.
I've done
when it comes
the Wienermobile.
It's Craig's story.
Well, first of all, when this caught my eye because it said it happened in Wisconsin, but the icon.
Yeah, where all the good drivers go.
Yeah. One of the iconic Oscar Mayer Wienermobiles crashed into a Wisconsin home on Friday following a failed turnaround. Police say the driver was trying to turn the Wienermobile around in the driveway and thought it was moving in reverse. But she instead went forward and hit the home.
End of the hot dog is front and back? You know, it's hard to tell with that model of car.
Yeah. But instead, she went forward and hit the home. And it sat in the driveway as if it were stuck in the garage Friday afternoon. And it does look kind of funny. It looks like somebody trying to shove a hot dog in the driveway.
I tried shoving a wiener in the warp drive, but it didn't do a bit of good.
Good.
Sorry, throwback to an old Dr. Demento thing.
Yeah, if anybody wants to hear my Wienermobile interview, I can probably dig it out somewhere, but it's in our archive somewhere.
2005, June, July, August,
yeah.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
It was when the race was going on.
Yeah, they in May, they do Speed Week in downtown Charlotte, and that's when I did it.
Were you just a foreign correspondent at that point?
No.
Were you a full-fledged member of the staff?
Yeah, I was full. I'm getting paid the same too.
Yeah, the commission thing didn't work out so well.
No, I went out there with my with the Dell Axum that we were talking about, and I did a recording right there, and it turned out pretty good.
Chat room's giving me crap about my mass and inertia and all that stuff.
Oh no, we're gonna get.
So
some
let's ignore that
here.
And go on to the next story. I'll bet this is something Harrison would just love.
Probably. This is a sleepover. I'm sorry. Let me back up. It's an Imperial Walker bunk bed. And it's really cool because if you go follow the link, I mean, it really is. It's like a bunk bed up under it. And then on the top part is an AT-AT walker you can actually climb into. And the guy has pictures.
That does look pretty cool. I mean, with the sides on that, your kid wouldn't fall out of the top bunk.
Yeah, you wouldn't have any trouble with that, but you can go visit the website, probably dig a few links deep, and you can find some pictures of him, or actually video of him building it in his garage. It's pretty cool.
Does he sleep in those Darth Vader pajamas every night?
I imagine the helmet would probably feel... You know what would be cool? You know what I really would like? Is a room with that big old thing that Vader was sitting in. And the helmet would come down and, you know, go on your head.
Then he's probably got a disco ball that looks like the Death Star for a light fixture. Wait, we're getting to the disco thing later.
Yeah, don't rush it.
What was that, the media corner?
Yeah, somewhere in the media corner.
Okay, but this should really go in the remember when, I'm thinking.
Well, yeah, maybe not. This is a portable 8-track player. By portable.
Somebody went retro and future on us. Now,
I'm talking like portable as in the loosest term of the word.
The evolution of portable music players towards greater storage in physically smaller dimensions is well known. Cassette tapes are now seen as quaint anachronism from an era gone by. But what about the history that didn't happen? What about specifically the 8-track playing Sony Walkman? Such are the questions that plagued the mind of one Xenon John, who has spliced together a clunky beast you see above. Looking like something Maggie Thatcher might have used in her private moments, the portable, compared to, say, a fridge device, is composed of an audio amplifier from an old cassette tape Walkman and the dismantled car 8-track player. Now, that gives you a sense of how big it is. This is like a two-handed device. Yeah. Because 8-tracks were a large format. For those of you who don't remember the 8-track format and haven't gone to the links on the show notes, think... what would be comparable today to the size of an 8-track cassette tape or 8-track cartridge tape?
A VHS tape or something.
Yeah, about that size.
It's actually, a videotape's a little bit bigger, but...
It's probably like twice the size of your, if you put two Nintendo DS length to length.
Yeah. Actually, go look at the picture.
A small book.
Yeah, small book. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Not on PDF.
Yeah.
And he's made this thing portable, so apparently you can carry around an 8-track player. Now, how many 8-track tapes do you have left? I have more 78 LPs than I have 8-tracks right now.
Do you really?
Yeah, I have 3 or 4 78s, and I have 0 8-tracks.
I don't have any 8-tracks either. Actually, I do. I did have an 8-track portable unit myself. I'm using the air quotes. It was a unit that... It had two speakers, and they would face each other, and you kind of lock them together. But you unbuckle one side, and you can pull them apart, and you put a tape in one side, and it would play. And I actually tried to take apart my tape recorder and use the head off that and try and make a recorder, an 8-track recorder, which, you know, wouldn't have lasted long. I wouldn't have any tapes to record to. I think, did they ever sell 8-track recorders to the consumer market?
Oh, yeah.
I thought they probably did. I just never really seen any.
I had a Kmart special when I was in high school. It was turntable, cassette, 8-track, and AM/FM radio all in one big clunky unit. And I think... No, I don't still have the speakers to that. I have the next set of speakers I bought.
Oh, Mike King says he still got one.
I would record to the cassette and then re-record... to the 8-track and then back to the cassette. And the reason I would go back and forth like this is because if you pushed a certain button just right, you could speed up the playback on one of the units. So I could make like chipmunk version of anything. And I was making my own.
I thought you were going to say there's some great reason. That's to make chipmunk versions.
Yeah. See, we
could save space and record it in times two, but no, it's to make
chipmunk.
But
then you could re-record and say, hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, all the geek stuff comes back to haunt you.
Yeah, that's okay. Hey, speaking of geek stuff.
And haunting.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the guy's name. James May. He's one of the hosts of Top Gear. I don't know if you've ever seen the show Top Gear.
It's yes.
Pretty cool show. He is going to make a Lego house.
Really?
A life-size house, yes. He's already got 3 million bricks. He's delivered. He'd actually invited the public, I guess it was this last weekend, I'm going to look at the dates, to come and help assemble it. but they're starting to put it together.
Complete with plumbing and wiring and everything?
Yeah, everything. Now, he's not going to live in it for good, but he does plan to spend a whole weekend in it.
Oh, he's going to give it to Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah.
Which is real convenient when you think about a Lego house. If you just want to add a new door or window, just take some bricks out.
Yeah. Honey, I'm going to rebuild this room. Okay. Yeah.
That's a load-bearing wall!
But he says he's trying to make the toilet and everything.
I don't want to think about that. That can't be good. There are some appliances you should go with standards on. Trust me on that one, because you know you need that smooth porcelain for a
okay,
reason.
Okay, enough. I got you. Hey, those he can go back and grab that. What was it? The Lego cello or whatever we were talking about last time. He can decorate
his
house.
Set that up in a music room. Right, decorate his house with more Lego stuff.
Yeah, I think it sounds cool. I'd love to see a picture. Like, remember the Simpsons home that they actually made?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of something.
I thought there were
like
technical
that.
Issues of, you know, you can't go into this room from that room when you really lay it out in real space or something.
I don't know. But I do know they made it, and it did look very much like the, especially inside, it looked just like the Simpson home.
All right, let's jump back in time to remember when.
Okay.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food?
Nope.
Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall?
Not a clue.
Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage?
Uh-uh.
Technorama remembers.
It's tough getting old.
Oh, my hearing's gone.
Oh, speaking of hair, not the people in this photo.
There's plenty to be had.
The week before, we reported that Gizmodo was celebrating a whole bunch of stuff from 1979, 30 years ago. And some of you may recognize the famous 13 people who started Microsoft. You know, where they say, would you buy stock in this company?
Yeah.
You know, with a very young Bill Gates and guys who look like they just stepped out of the Doobie Brothers fan club.
Or the Doobie Brothers.
Or the Doobie Brothers themselves, who I'm sure wish they invested in Microsoft.
Yeah.
It turns out that Bill Gates is either a Gizmodo reader or somebody found this and said, Bill, you got to read this. So he responded back to this article.
I think he does. They've interviewed him before. I think he does read the site. But yeah,
he's pretty cool.
He has some musings and talking about some of his past thoughts on, you know, from the 70s working at Microsoft. And there's a copy of Apple II's, or the Microsoft Adventure. I don't know if you remember playing that.
The best part about that was the cover art.
Oh. Look at that cool dragon. Yeah.
It's not really a dragon. It's more like the evil alter ego of the gecko guy.
The gecko of death.
The Geico lizard guy.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's a fun read. Go check it out.
It is. Yeah. What else have we got in the Wayback Machine?
This is a story which I don't think I've ever heard of before, but there's a 10-year-old boy who actually helped the Apollo 11 land. Well, actually, on the return flight.
You know, I never heard this either.
I hadn't either.
I wish I had asked my brother when him and his family were stationed on Guam a year or two ago.
Yeah.
To like, go check this out, see if the place is still there.
Yeah, well, check this out. It was around 10 o'clock on the night of the 23rd, and 10-year-old Greg Force was at home with his mom and three brothers. His father, Charles Force, was at work, and Charles worked as the director of NASA Tracking Station in Guam, where the family was living. Well, the Guam Tracking Station was to play a critical role in the return of Apollo 11 on Earth, or to Earth, rather, a powerful antenna that they're connected NASA communications with Apollo 11, and the antenna was the only way for NASA to make its communications with astronauts before splashdown. But the last minute, of course, it's always the last minute, right? On that night, a bearing on the antenna failed, rendering it useless. So rather than to be able to fix this, they were going to have to disassemble it and actually replace the bearing, it would take days or weeks. Well, what they figured was they would take some grease and pack it in there really good, and it would work for the time being. But they didn't have any hands small enough, But Charles Forrest said, oh, yes, I do. And he got his son out there to do it.
How cool is that? Now, the story from the what was his name? Eric, John, Greg. Greg is now 40 plus 10. He'd be 50. He still says, you know, I didn't think of it as too much of a big deal. Dad calls you up at night and says, hey, I need you to pack some grease in these bearings.
You know what? Now, I do that to Harrison all the time.
if the bearings were shot, would grease really help? I'm thinking they probably just needed it to run over his hand a couple of times, and that was enough to turn the dish the right way.
Yeah.
Dad. But he said it really wasn't much of a big deal. Even when his dad explained to him, he said, look, these guys are coming back from the first walk on the moon. We kind of need this done.
Yeah.
So he's very modest about his contribution. And years later, sometime later, when the Apollo 11 astronauts were on tour, they went around to all the tracking stations and things and thanked people personally. He got a thank you note from Neil Armstrong. I want to know where that note is today.
I don't know. There's a picture of it right there in the little picture viewer.
Really?
Yeah. Flip over to picture 3 of 5, and it says to Greg.
Oh, there's 1 of 5. I didn't see the 1 of 5. 2 of 5 is Neil shaking his hand. Thanks, kid.
He looks a little disinterested. Like
you've been cooped up for 3 days.
He looks a little disinterested, too, when he's doing the handshake. Oh, you're just a guy. I thought you walked on the moon or something. Anyway, there's a picture of the thing, so I guess he still got it.
That is cool. That is very cool. Still around.
That's a neat little story. Something new.
And where were these stories when we were trying to do our Apollo 11 special last week?
Yeah, duh. I think they started coming out because they actually did with the splashdown, which would have just happened. So,
okay, they're timing them for us.
I guess so.
That's terrific. Speaking of timing, we're going to go on to the media corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
This place always smells like popcorn. You ever notice that?
That's not the smell I get. Hey,
what
well,
you
just
get,
in
astronauts
time.
Astronauts who've been cooped up for a week and a half?
Yeah. Yeah. Woo. What was that on Robot Chicken? Smells like leathery bacon wrapped in
leathery bacon. Whatever it is.
Burnt
anyway.
Bacon. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, just in time for Comic-Con. Oh, what? Oh, it's over. Oh, well. But just in time for Comic-Con, actually, last week, Google posted some comic themes for the iGoogle site. I don't know if everybody uses that, but I do. And there was some cool ones, everything from there's a Batman, Iron Man, Superman, the Hulk, some other ones, and some comic book characters like Popeye and stuff like that. You could pick and theme your iGoogle, which is kind of cool.
I'm going to try that out. I don't use it regularly, but every so often I'll go to my iGoogle page.
Shoot, that's my homepage, man.
That's how I know what phase of the moon is. You know what my homepage is?
What's that?
About colon blank.
I thought you were going
to
say
Technorama. It loads up really fast.
Yeah. Well, let's put a gadget on there. Make it slow it down. It's too much production, man.
Speaking of slowing down, which has nothing to do with this next segment, it was slowing down the fan-made show Starship Farragut. The animated episodes are starting to come out.
Yeah, you know, they've done a couple of real live episodes.
Yep.
They did this animated version, and it looks like the Star Trek animated ones that everybody's, you know, we've seen in the from the 70s, which was kind of cool. Actually, it looks just like it, and I think it's pretty neat. So I started watching.
Starship
I haven't watched
Farragut, a TOS-era fan production, has set a fan film milestone by being the first to produce both live-action and animated episodes. The first part of their first animated episode was released this week. You can watch below. We'll have a link. Plus, Trek Movie talked about the Farragut producers to get all the latest news and details of what's next. And they've got some big names in here, too. I mean, it's not just Chase Masterson, who played Leda on Deep Space Nine, and Chris Doohan, son of Jimmy Doohan, is in there also. So some interesting talent lending their...
He's giving it all he can, Captain.
But it didn't do a bit of good.
No, good. Sorry.
All right.
Now I'm snorting.
Before we get slayed by a real Scotsman, Let's move on. Tron. We've got a couple of Tron things tonight.
Yes, a couple of Tron things. One
of my favorite all-time films.
Is it really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's one of my top films as well. I didn't realize.
Now you have to. We'll explain what we're talking about here. But the
this is a Comic-Con, and that they actually were starting to promote the film. Although there's really no trailer.
They're redoing the film, right?
This is a sequel.
Okay.
Sequel to the original.
Oh.
So what they've done is they recreated Flynn's arcade. And you can look at the video, the guys walking in, and you can hear all the video games and everything. It's really cool. They even had a Space Paranoids video game. I was like, oh, I wanted to play that. I've never seen that. Have you ever seen that? Did they never made that, did they?
Wasn't that eventually a piece of the Tron arcade game?
I guess maybe it was.
Wasn't Space Paranoids the spiders?
No. I thought it was the little tank things, you know, when they're coming
out. The recognizers?
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking of. Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you can go in there.
It's been a while.
You know what? That was actually my favorite video game was the stand-up, the blue Tron video game.
Yep.
Oh, man, I could rock it on that.
You could work those fast twitch muscles on that one.
I rolled it. I don't know if I could do it now, but anyway, go in there and check it out. And then there's the video. People, I think probably as excited I am to see this movie. They're overreacting just watching the motorcycle.
it's like a new car being rolled out. I mean, it's on the rotating pedestal and everything.
You know what?
But the design, whoever did the industrial design on this thing is pretty cool because they've got the rider sort of integrated into the cycle. It still has the classic, you know, see-through wheels with no hub, you know, nice big fat wide things that look more like Batman's tumbler cycle.
Yes.
And but the lines on this thing are actually very elegant.
And you know, like I said, I can get excited about a movie, you know, but you go watch it and look at the people, oh, awesome, woo! I'm like,
do you know what it reminded me of watching that guy with his handheld camcorder doing this thing walking through it reminded me of our video from the Star Trek experience.
Yeah, maybe.
This looks familiar. A homemade video.
I was just ready for the Tuttles to come out, you know, from American Chopper. You know, like they designed.
Ooh, yeah. We made this.
Yeah. But no, it's pretty cool. I especially like the video with the guy walking through the arcade. That was just, oh, good times, man. Takes you back.
All right, now Craig's favorite part. Star Wars dance contest.
You know, just when you think the Hollywood or the holiday special, Star Wars Star Holiday special was the low point.
They've got Chewbacca, the original gangsta. And
hey,
he's got
we posted on Marv posted on our site of Darth Vader doing the MC
Hammer. The
Hammer
dance. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is
I laughed.
Is the whole complete uncut video.
Yep.
And I'm it's
and Chewbacca's dancing with a couple of Jawas. You know, they're doing the jump song by House of Pain.
And this makes Phantom Menace look like an epic film. Oscar material.
I think my favorite line in there was when the host and hostess referred to the Jawas as the boys in the hood. Like the hood. Oh man.
Get it? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Yeah.
Oh boy. But yeah, watch that if you dare.
I'm halfway through. I'm. They're up to the point where they're judging and asking the crowd for applause, and I haven't finished yet.
You're pacing yourself.
The doctor says the therapy sessions. Now, what did you think of that one?
Okay, and you know, talking about well, I mentioned Phantom
Star
Menace.
Wars.
You know.
Yep.
Yeah. This is an interview with Anakin. I'm sorry, not Anakin himself, but Jake Lloyd, who played Anakin, the young one, of course, in The Phantom Menace. And actually, if you watch this video, I agree with the guy. It kind of makes you go, not feel so bad quite for him, because I don't think he ruined the movie. I think Jar Jar had something to do with that. But anyway, check it out.
Lucas?
Huh? Yeah, well.
How about George Lucas?
Yeah, well, he was responsible for Jar Jar. So But anyway, go watch this. It's actually kind of neat. He's going through film school, and he's talking about that a little bit, and just kind of going where life takes him. And it's kind of neat little video, and it kind of makes you go, oh, well, you know, he's just a guy, and he probably got his share of picking-ons, you know, during high school and stuff, and he talks about that too.
He was going to film school. He's taking a year off, but it sounds like he wants to go back and finish up and, you know, admire the guy for setting his goals and going through with it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, go check that out. It's neat to see him talking, and rather than just seeing a picture of him, you know, older. Does that make sense?
Yep. And while we're on the Star Wars theme, we got an email from listener Alexis, also known as AD Dude in the chat room. Or what is he now tonight? AD
Fish AD, Boy.
Some kind of
know.
Fish. AD Leviathan.
AD Leviathan. There you
That's
go.
It. I got to get back to my browser here. He says, I'm at Comic-Con, and when I saw these Stormtrooper toys, I thought of Technorama. Wow. We've warped another person.
Yeah. Like,
wow. Look at this junk. It reminds me of Technorama.
Yeah. I think I saw one of these. It was the Hello Kitty Stormtrooper. Yeah.
He sent along pictures to different Stormtrooper themes. There's looks like Pepto-Bismol puked on this one. It's all pink and ballerina-like.
It's got
a
bow
on
its head. Got a bow on its head. Hey, you know what? The sand person looking mix between the Stormtrooper and the sand person actually looks kind of cool.
You mean the one wearing rags?
Yeah, it looks like a sand person.
That's pretty cool.
You know, the Tusken Raiders, come on.
Mmm, Tusken food.
Look at the Batman one.
That was just bizarre to cross Batman with a Stormtrooper. I'm amazed that even works, but you think the body armor, sure, what the heck.
Yeah, I saw a picture of a Hello Kitty one. It looked pretty bad. Oh, hey, scroll down that page a little bit. That dude does look like Hugh Jackman. Or is it a wax? Oh, sorry, it is. I wonder it does.
Gee, what a coinkydink.
Yeah, ours a dialect.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
We gotta keep moving. What do you got?
Oh, excuse me. Go ahead. Oh, me. Oh.
That was your bumper?
Yeah. Actually, I wanted to point this out. This is a little boy, and he learned to solder. He's only, seven?
Nine
six?
Or ten. Yeah, something.
He's
very young.
So I think that's important. He's a six-year-old. Then he learned to solder, and what I thought was really cool was he actually made a guitar amp for his grandmother.
Because grandma's rocking out. I'm just like, what kind of family is this?
I don't know, but you know, you have to appreciate the project like that. And he took it and he did it, which I think is cool. And it just reminds me that, you know, you got to have those talks with your son, you know, and have that how to solder talk.
Son. There comes a time in every man's life when he needs to learn how to hold a soldering iron. Dad, so, is that a metaphor for something? No, we're talking about holding a real soldering iron.
Yeah, really, burning some solder and smelling it, you know. Anyway, what I'm getting at is I thought this was so cool. It made me think about the first time I learned to solder, and I've mentioned it on here before, but I'll tell it real quick. You know, my dad actually showed me how to solder because I wanted to build crap. You know, I was taking apart walkie-talkies and stuff at a young age and trying to remake something that, you know, didn't need to exist or shouldn't have, or, you know, I wanted to exist out of my imagination. But when did you learn to solder? And that's my question to you. It was when did you learn to solder? My first little project I did on my own was I was replacing the little bulb in my model train, and I did it. How about you, Chuck?
I didn't have a soldering iron so much as a soldering gun.
Well, you know what I mean. It's an iron. What are you doing?
Junior high school.
Shoot anybody
sometime,
with it?
Sixth, seventh, eighth grade, somewhere in there. It was just like fixing an old radio or reconnecting a speaker connection or something. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But it was about, early teens.
Yeah.
No, I didn't shoot anybody with it.
You said solder gun. Well, you know, it's funny.
Yeah, it was a pistol grip. It was like the size of a drill, and it had a pointed lead. It wasn't real accurate because circuits were big back then. Well, and it had like headlights on it, so you could see what you were soldering.
Yeah, back in Chuck's day, they were huge.
Listen, smart Alec.
Hey, you know what's funny is my dad told me to be really careful when you solder, and of course, I was in a pair of shorts, and I dropped a bead of solder on my leg.
Ah.
Yeah, but you know what? I didn't say a word because I didn't want to. I didn't want the privilege to be taken away.
Of course not. All right, we want to know when you learned to solder. So to that end,
call us. Tell us.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
I had to hit that button like four times. I don't know what's going on tonight.
If it keeps playing, we'll know why.
Or stops in the middle of it.
Yeah.
All right, think we can get through the geek library quickly? Probably not.
Do it. No, go ahead. Do it, man. Do it. Try it.
Okay. Make Online has come out with a computer hardware cheat sheet.
Yes, which I thought this was very cool and could have been handy 10 years ago.
This is pretty... Yeah, well, yeah, and everything's changed since then. I don't know when the last time I've seen a DB25 serial port or Centronics printer port is, but hey, if you're looking for one, this thing will help you find them.
Yes.
Different kinds of memory slots and I.O. ports and CPU sockets and, oh my gosh, it makes me glad I'm not a service technician anymore.
You know what? What really gets my goat? Okay, I don't know where, I don't know why I said that, but like, anyway, what really ticks me off is about computer memory. Could it not take them two more seconds or a penny's worth of ink to print 1 megabyte, 2 megabyte, or whatever the capacity is on this thing?
Yeah, so I wouldn't have to keep using my label printer to do that? The closest I ever saw was where it says like 8x64.
Yeah, then you're like, you're trying to do the math.
Right.
But yeah, I'm like, ugh, that just, memory, and when they went from dip chips to, or, you know, chips to... the
Sims and things, yeah.
Sims and stuff. They never printed that on there, especially the cheap memory, nope. And it really ticked me off. There.
Wow, that was the rant part, right? A little late. That was the last segment.
Sorry, I was working myself up to that.
We're the Geek Library. You're going to have to take this next one because I'm not sure what to make of Lebowski Tron.
Well, you know, The Big Lebowski. You've seen the movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's just a picture of, Jeff Bridges. He's actually got the...
That's Jeff Bridges?
It's Jeff Bridges. He's got a
beard.
Man,
he looks like he's about 85 years old in this picture.
Well, what's funny is he's got a sweater on.
He's got like Dumont's sweater on.
He's got his own sweater on, you know, like from The Big Lebowski.
Okay.
And he's got the hat on, the Tron hat, like a traditional Tron. Maybe he was hanging out with the Tron guy.
Tron guy, yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
But it looks just like Lebowski trying to be... in the Tron movie somehow.
Okay.
I hope it's on the DVD extra or something. That'd be pretty cool.
And this from Slashdot on Moonday, July 21st. Linux scribe tips a piece up at linux.com with the inside details on the design and construction of the Apollo 11 code. There are some analogies to open source development, but they are slim. MIT drafted the code to run on the Apollo guidance computer device with less grunt than an IBM XT. It had 2K of memory, a 1 megahertz clock speed. It was an amazing machine for its time. NASA engineers tested, polished, simulated, and refined the code.
You know
what? The software was programmed on, get this, yes, in my hand, IBM punch cards. They had 80 columns and were assembled to instruction binary on mainframes, and it took hours. During the mission, most of the software code couldn't be changed because it was hard-coded into the hardware, like ROM today.
Wow.
Well, I don't even know. Has anybody used ROMs today? Maybe for the devices, but a lot of stuff is Flash, so you can do firmware upgrades. But during pre-launch design simulations, problems that came up in the code could sometimes be finessed by computer engineers using a small amount of erasable memory that was available for the programs. The software used a low-level assembly language and was controlled using pairs or segments of numbers entered into a square-shaped numeric-only keyboard called a display and keyboard unit. The two-digit code stood for nouns or verbs. Go left. And were used to enter commands or data such as pick up wand. Such as spacecraft... Quaff liquid.
What are they doing up there?
It's an adventure game.
Yeah.
What do you think they're doing? They're punching it out like hex code.
Open door. Go north.
3A. Right. Magic missile. Magic missile.
You're standing beside in a mailbox. And
you're riding on a magic missile there, pal.
Yeah. Hey, you know what I was going to say? I was going to throw in there that, you know, they said at the time it was an amazing machine. I say now it's still an amazing machine. That they can
it's amazing that, you know, they probably had a whole, like, 32 bytes to put in their erasable programs in there.
Hey, you know how what happened is, you know, you're talking about the ROM. What happens if their machine crashed? They had to reboot this, you know, the machine, and it comes up to ROM basic. Oops. We lost the operating system. Sorry.
Collins is up there going, I'm going to write the world's first virus.
Yeah, crap. 10 print, 20 go to 20 go to 10.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
All right. This found from failblog.org. Yeah. Wow. I got to subscribe to this. This is good stuff.
You know, I started flipping through the fail blog and it was funny. This one, the guy starts showing the weather.
So he's showing the weather radar. He says, the storm's coming in from the east and should last until Tuesday, where the high pressure center moving in slightly behind it. And all of a sudden, the Norton antivirus splash thing comes up. And he just nonchalantly clicks OK and moves on. The dialogue doesn't miss a beat.
What's worse is the dialogue said, your Norton subscription has expired. You think they keep that crap up to date, right?
I didn't see it that closely.
Yeah, I was like, Norton, oh, it expired. They don't even have a license for it. That's funny.
That's priceless. And finally, our top 10 things, if one last Apollo thing, and then I think the month of July will be over and we'll move on.
Yes.
These are the top 10 things you didn't know about the Apollo 11 moon landing. We're running a little long. I'm going to try and go through these real quick. The Apollo Saturn rockets were packed with enough fuel to throw 100-pound shrapnel 3 miles, and NASA couldn't rule out the possibility that they might explode on takeoff.
Yep.
NASA seated its VIP spectators 3.5 miles from the launch pad. Number two, the Apollo computers had less processing power than a cell phone. I think we just clarified that one. Yep. Number three, drinking water was a fuel cell byproduct, but Apollo 11's hydrogen gas filters didn't work, making every drink bubbly. Urinating and defecating in zero gravity, meanwhile, had not been figured out. The latter was so troublesome that at least one astronaut spent his entire mission on anti-diarrhea drug to avoid it.
Oh.
Number four, Apollo 11's lunar lander, the Eagle, separated from the orbiter. The cabin wasn't fully depressurized, resulting in a burst of gas equivalent to popping a champagne cork. It threw the module's landing 4 miles off target. That's how they got off target. Okay. I was watching Moonshot last night.
You know what? I watched a little bit of that too.
Number five, pilot Neil Armstrong nearly ran out of fuel on the landing of the Eagle, and many at Mission Control worried he might crash. Apollo engineer Milton Silveira, however, was relieved. His tests had shown that there was a small chance the exhaust could shoot back into the rocket as it landed and ignite the remaining propellant. We knew they were low, didn't know there was a threat of ignition. That would have been bad.
Yeah, surprise.
Number six, one small step for man. Wasn't actually that small. Armstrong set the ship down so gently that its shock absorbers didn't compress. He had to hop 3.5 feet from the Eagle's ladder, or just over 1 meter.
And I think that's kind of obvious if you watch the video.
Yeah, actually, in Moonshot, they had like 3 feet to go, so they didn't compress a whole lot anyway. So maybe he should have ran out and gone, bam, hit harder, and they would have compressed. That's one really small step for man, because the ladder's crushed. Number seven, when Buzz Aldrin joined Armstrong on the surface, he had to make sure not to lock the Eagle's door because the keys were inside. No, it actually says because there was no outer handle.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, you know, they get out, and it's like, beep, bleep. Oh, wait, there's no sound in space. Just kind of go.
Yeah, that's a good sound effect. Number eight, the toughest moonwalk task, planting the flag. NASA study suggested that the lunar soil was soft, but Armstrong and Aldrin found the surface to be a thin wisp of dust over hard rock. They managed to drive the flagpole in a few inches into the ground and film it for broadcast, and then took care not to accidentally knock it over. I think you said that it did get knocked over when they shot back the module.
Hey, by the way, Chuck, AD dude in the chat room said, try calling AAA to get you back into the capsule.
Hello, OnStar? They didn't have
OnStar. Funny thing happened, OnStar. Let me tell you. No.
I'm going to need you to drive someone out here.
I'm sorry, your GPS isn't giving us right coordinates. It says you're out of the planet.
Number 9, the flag was made by Sears, but NASA refused to acknowledge this because they didn't want another Tang. For those of you who don't know, Tang was the drink of the astronauts, and boy, did they market that to death.
Yeah, and they still do.
They probably sold a lot because of that, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that good of an orange drink, to be honest.
I kind of liked it.
Only because the astronauts drank it.
Yeah.
If they'd said it was the, you know, the drink of...
The sewage manager.
Right. It's pretty good. And finally, number 10, we'll let you get out of here because we're closing in on an hour. The inner bladder of the spacesuits, that airtight liner that kept the astronauts' body under Earth-like pressure, and the ship's computer ROM chips were handmade by teams of, and I quote, little old ladies.
Oh. Bless their hearts.
Yeah. Now they're quilting northern tissue.
All right. Hey, by the way, we are going to be at Dragon Con, and we do have a slot scheduled, so be sure to
Friday
look for
night,
that.
Friday night, 10 p.m. I told this in the pre-show. We're going to be doing a live show. We're still tossing around ideas for the format and whatnot. So we'll nail those down in the next few days. We've got our eyes on a few people to be the quote-unquote panel. Yeah, you know what that means in Technorama speak.
Yeah, it means we have no idea what we're doing.
They could be dressing up like Wookiees and dancing to Jump Jump by House of Pain.
I was going to do the hammer dance. But...
You want to be on the panel?
Yeah.
Meet us there, Technorama, live. What is that, the first, second, third, whatever that Friday night is that we first start, 10 p.m. Dragon Con time.
We'll give out the details. Check out the next show. We'll have more.
Yeah, I hope. We appreciate your support. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us feedback on the listener feedback line, 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. Or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. You can find us also on Twitter, C. Tomasi, Step K, or Technorama. Marv is always throwing good things out there, including...
Be sure to subscribe to Mad Marv, too.
Mad Marv. Yes, you're right. And you can also find us on Facebook. Same kind of thing. The website for all this goodness. Do we have those links on the website, like the Promote Us page? We'll get them up there soon.
Yeah.
www.chuckchat.com, or you can also find the tip jar donation links. I have... Take the light bulb out of the tip jar. Tip jar's got some coin in it, but it could use your help. Review on iTunes, Music Store, Podcast Pickle, and all that other good stuff. Speaking of Mad Marv, we want to thank him for providing all the great blog content during the week. He does an awesome job. If you're just listening to the podcast, hey, head over to the website. There's a lot of good stuff there that he throws on during the week. Thank you, Ustream, for getting all our live stream going. It's been pretty rock solid. Smiles to everybody who joins us on Sunday night. Thank you for giving us your time there. Saves you the hassle of listening to this show later. You get some secrets that don't... That get edited out or craftily edited in by the man with the skills on the other side of this conversation.
Yeah.
That would not be me. I'm the lovable personality side of this show.
Oh, man. That hurts coming from you.
You're the man with the skills.
Yeah.
Audio skills. Leveling skills.
Meeting chick skills.
And we're out of here. A chat room is provided by freenode.net. Play that lovely bean footage, please, Chuck. There!
Dude, don't give away the recipe.
We use all beans in this show. The show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with a whole bunch of great Parsec finalists over at farpointmedia.net. Lots of great podcasting stuff over there. If you're not listening to some of those shows, why not? Do yourself a favor. But just don't cancel this subscription, or we'll have to come and steampunk your family or something.
Steampunk your family.
Any words of wisdom for us this week, Craig?
No.
This has been a terrific show. Thank you, everybody, for giving us your time. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
101.